We fell in love with her sass and her no BS personality as Regina on the Steve Harvey Show. Then we all got super jealous of her as she cozied up to some of the television's hottest, most steamiest co-stars as Tasha Mack in BET's The Game. Her megawatt smile and to die for body, every time she steps on a red carpet or into a room, she shuts it down. Now, each of her on-screen characters pretty much has a big mouth, but in real life, it's her heart that's really huge. I am super excited to welcome to BHL's Conversations actress, philanthropist, and all-around awesome woman, Wendy Raquel Robinson.
Wow. Thank you. That was...
We're tuned in to Black Hollywood Live. Conversations.
Who runs the world, Wendy? Who runs the world? Wendy. This is her song selection.
Yeah, who runs
this? I like that dance you're doing.
Yeah!
I like the dance.
We're both dancers. I love it.
We are. High five to that.
High five, high.
Guys, you're watching Conversations on VHL. I'm Erica Renee Davis. You can find me on Snapchat, Periscope, Twitter, and on Instagram at Erica Renee D. And the guest of honor, the fabulous Wendy Raquel Robinson.
Girl, after an intro like that, I just got to bow down. Thank you.
Well,
thank
listen,
Miss Erica.
I'm bowing down to you all day, but before I bow down to you some more, tell the world where they can find you on social media.
Oh, please find me on social media at I am Wendy Raquel. That's WendyRaquel.
Now, right now, I'm tweeting out a live link to everyone, so, you know, you guys obviously are already watching, but make sure you retweet this live link so all your friends can watch. It should be pretty safe for work. We're going to keep it PG-13. We'll see.
Well, we're going to try, but tweet that, twerk that, and then work that.
Tweet that, twerk that.
And follow me at that.
That's right. Follow her at that. Okay, now, before we get started, Wendy, I got to ask you. What do you eat and what's your workout regimen?
Wow, you know what? I pretty much try and eat whatever I want. Actually, I'm a little sleepy because I just had a grand slam at Denny's. I did. No, I swear to God, right before we came here, I had my French toast and my bacon. But I work out, you know, and I do it not for vanity necessarily, but for sanity. You know what I mean?
I
and that's
that.
My motivation. It's like it gets my endorphins going and everything. And when I don't work out, I feel some kind of way.
What is your workout regimen? Are you a cardio girl? Are you a weights?
You know what's so funny? I'm a cardio girl.
Okay.
And you can tell if I'm really going through a lot, it's like, okay, Wendy, you got a little too skinny. Okay, back up off the cardio. But me and the elliptical, it's my best friend. I'll get on that sucker. I'll do all my emails. I'll flush out my thoughts. I take my phone. It's like my little portable office. I show up with all of my little things. I read scripts. That's how I learn my lines.
Okay.
It's very interesting. I love the elliptical.
All right. Well, I love your body.
And thank everyone you. I love there. Yours. As soon as she walked in, Miss Erica walked in, and who runs well? Girls, I said, honey, you've got to be a dancer. It takes a dancer to know a dancer.
Amen.
Yes, it does.
So, Wendy, your newest television project is Here We Go Again on TV One, Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. We are 7 episodes in as of tomorrow.
Yes, and we only have 8. Oh, my God.
Tell me about Here We Go Again. Just you guys out there, just to give you guys a little background, you play Loretta Walker.
Yes, I do.
You were a teen mom.
Yes,
you
at
had,
16.
At 16. Mm-hmm. And then LaToya Luckett, your daughter.
Her name is Maddie on the show, Maddie Walker.
Maddie Walker is your daughter, who also was a teen mom at 16.
Yes.
But there's a plot twist.
And there is a huge plot twist, because now her daughter is now 16, and we're going to break that curse. But the plot twist even gets thicker, because now LaToya's character is pregnant by her first baby daddy.
Yes.
And, you know, being a teenage parent, you really don't know all of the ins and outs. And now the dad, the character's name is Victor, but it's played by Andre Fuller, who already said was, ooh, he's sexy. Okay, yeah.
Indeed.
But he's like, you know, give me an opportunity to redeem myself. Let me come back and be that father that I wasn't able to be at 16. And they just had a one-night entanglement, and boom, she got pregnant again. So we're dealing with... Here We Go Again.
Here We Go Again.
And is he going to step up to the plate and be that man? So it's a wonderful show that just opens up the dialogue and the conversation of, can you really be a better father 16 years later or a better parent? And just because you had a hiccup doesn't mean you can't pick up and go on in life.
I like that.
Yeah.
Now, from watching Here We Go Again, what other lessons besides use a condom and or pull out?
Okay. Or abstain. How about that, Erica? How about I'll just abstain.
Okay, how about abstain? Okay. Yes, abstinence is the key.
Well, it's hard, but it is the key.
Yes. What other lessons can we learn from watching Here We Go Again, PG-13?
Yeah, PG-13. We're going to keep it tight. That, you know, what's interesting is that there's been a lot of case studies done that I think it's like between 85 to 89% tile of if there was a teenage mom, mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10, their child is going to be a teenage mom.
Wow.
Same thing almost with incarceration. Mm. It's a cycle. You know what I mean? Same thing, you know, if you go to college, 9 times out of 10, your child will mm-hmm. too. So how do you break that cycle? And even if you are in the cycle, it's okay. Because I went on, it took me 6 years to graduate. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about my character, to graduate from college. Mm-hmm. And I'm a real estate agent. I'm doing very well and successful. Mm-hmm. Same thing with my daughter, Maddie. You know, she went on, she finished law school. She has her own firm and all of that. So just because we have the challenges in our lives, they don't necessarily have to be setbacks. They can be setups.
Okay.
You know, so I think that's a huge lesson. And then also, abstain, pull out, Trojan man, where are you? You know, that's also very important.
Does the Trojan man make an appearance in this season of Here We Go Again?
Well, I don't know. Is he riding a pony or is he on that Trojan? I don't know. Is it a horse or is it a pony or is it a donkey? You know, because we don't want no asses. Yeah.
We do not. Wendy.
What?
My next question is perfect, because my next question was, do you consider yourself a natural comedian?
I don't.
But you
really
are.
I don't.
You are.
I don't. It's so funny. I just, you know what? I love to laugh. Mm-hmm. I really do. And, but no. I'm a classically trained actress, you know, and before I even got into sitcom, you know, I did Agnes and Agnes of God, Streetcar Named Desire, you know. I've studied all the classics and things like that. But I was raised on Richard Pryor.
Okay.
You know, growing up, that's all we pretty much had. My dad, he loved Richard Pryor. What? God, what is it? Live on the Sunset Trip, Bicentennial, N-word.
Okay, yep.
That N-word is crazy, yes. You know, and all of that. So I know Richard Pryor backwards and forwards and forwards and back. And I think, you know, growing up with that from 8 to 12 years old, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know it. I could rewind it back and forth. And maybe that just kind of became the soundtrack of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just kind of innately worked with different comedians. And I think just having fun and the banter. But no, I'm not. Not at all.
Have you ever done stand-up?
No.
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 Wendy,
no.
You gotta do stand-up.
I cannot. I have too much respect for the craft.
Okay.
I really do. And it takes something, you know, it takes something very special for someone to do that. And I just, I need a script. I need a character to hide behind. And then I can get away with it.
Well, speaking of getting away with stuff, you got away with a lot as Tasha Mack on BET's
Jesus
Game.
Yes.
This is how we grew to love you and to know you. Now, of course, you know, can't dismiss your years with Steve Harvey.
Thank you.
But Tasha Mack
was a hot ass mess. I loved her.
Was she a mess? Was she a hot mess?
You know what it is? Sometimes, you know, there's an old, whatever they're called, you know,
Is it an old adage? Is that?
Well, you know how you say, if you think twice, God gave you 2 eyes and 2 ears so
yes.
that you would listen and watch before you speak. And she really didn't understand that. So she would just say whatever she felt like saying and was unapologetic about it. And I think that's what I loved most about her. You know, she was able to just, hey, that's what I feel. You know, it would get into her a lot of trouble.
Yes.
But, you know, for the most part, she was just unashamedly and unapologetically Tasha Mack.
Would you say that's very true to life? Is Tasha Mack a reflection of Wendy Raquel Robinson in real life?
Ooh, not at all.
I don't believe this.
Are you kidding me?
Listen, I've been talking to you for the past 45 minutes, and I think you are probably equally unapologetic as Tasha Mack.
I wish. I really do. If anything, she would be my alter ego.
Okay.
Yeah. And there are a lot of things that I would love to say. But it's like, no, I think twice and listen twice as much as I speak.
Okay.
And, you know, being sensitive to other people.
Okay.
And you know what I mean?
I get that.
I think there's a lack of sensitivity that Tasha has, you know?
Would you consider the game your breakout role?
Wow, that's a very good question. I wouldn't consider it my breakout role. I think it would be, you know, because I'm Blafamous.
Blafamous, and tell everyone out there what Blafamous means.
Black famous. I'm Blafamous, y'all. Like, I'm about to blow umptuate in a Blafamous way. Yeah. So maybe in that regard, I think it was probably the one time you were able to see me not hiding behind a comedian. Mm-hmm. I've always been that... You know, hand in hand, me and Steve Harvey.
Yeah.
And then I did Minor Adjustments with mm-hmm. Rondell Sheridan, who is, you know, a wonderful comic in his own right. But I was the wife, you know, and the nurturer and the voice of reason. And I think Tasha was the one where you kind of saw who she was for who she was.
Okay.
And maybe you got a chance to know Wendy, too, because it was a lot of Blafamous cities. Blamophophacies or whatever. I can't even say what it is, but y'all know what I'm talking about.
I like these mashup words you've created today.
Well, me too.
Perfect. Now, the chemistry with the game cast was unbelievable. Like, watching the game, you really believed in those dynamics and in those relationships. How mm-hmm. did you guys make it so seamless?
I think, you know, in the transition coming from the CW network and having been canceled by them, and, you know, it was like a year and a half in between, and then, boom, you know, here we are, and we get an opportunity on BET, and the format of the show changed. So we went from a traditional four-camera show where you would have 5 days of rehearsal, mm-hmm. you know, and then you would shoot in front of an audience so everybody knew what they were going to do, mm-hmm. and then, boom, we go to a single-camera format where it's like, okay, we're going to hold hands, jump, whatever you say, got it, okay, because we're going to shoot the rehearsal. You know, so sometimes you would just get that one shot, mm-hmm. and when you have that, it's not only adrenaline, but it's also a trust that you have to have with the other actors, and it's a mutual respect. You know, sometimes you're gauging in each other's eyes, and it's like, okay, I can't think of my line. Help me. Well, just that. But, you know, you got my back, Erica. I got your back. And then we're back and forth and back and forth. So I think that just really... It just tied us together so fast, you know? And we became a family.
Clearly. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was such a great show to watch.
Yeah. Thank you.
Now, on the freaky deaky side, Tasha Mack was a freaky deaky something Ooh. Of another.
Yeah.
Does art imitate life in that instance?
Ooh, you know, I wish it did. Because, girl, no. I mean, I think that was one of the greatest seasons I had on the game when I was stuck in between Rick Fox and Rockman Dunbar. Pookie, Jesus. Yes, honey. You got it. I was able to dine at the White House and hang in the hood. I was just right there in the middle between the two. And I've always been, I'm a hopeless romantic.
Aww.
Yeah.
She's a Leo.
I know. Loyal, crazy, fun. You know. But I'm very different from her in that
way.
Yeah.
It's okay. All the guys are there. Their feelings are hurt. It's okay.
Get over it. It's okay. Trojan man. Yeah.
I like it. That can be our theme song for the day. Trojan man.
Well, I hope not. Okay. Oh, for the next president?
What?
Oh, well, did you say that?
No,
I was about to say, what is going on?
Guys. Wendy Raquel Robinson in studio. What do you do? You are an LA native.
Yes, I am. And sleep deprived.
Sleep deprived. Yes. Howard University alum, Bison.
Yes. Bison. You know.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You became passionate about the performing arts at what age?
Wow. I want to say I was about 6 or 7 years old.
And what did it for you? What was the trigger?
You know, I think the trigger for me, well, lip syncing was huge. Back in the day. Now it's making a resurgence, you know, with the whole lip sync battle. But mm-hmm. lip syncing was huge, and I always wanted to sing, and I always wanted to dance. I was always in front of the mirror, and I never kept still. And then I guess the more I kept doing, I was doing plays in my backyard. I grew up on the street in South Central LA, and it was like at least maybe 15 kids on the block. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So every summer, you know, we'd have all this time. Now, what we gonna do? Guys, we gonna put together a show. We used to call it the 84th Place Block Review. And
it
was. And we'd charge our little money, have it in the backyard and all of that. And next thing I know, you know, time goes so fast, and I'm getting ready to graduate from high school, and there's nothing else that I want to do other than perform, you know? And there was a recruiter from Howard that came, and he was like, well, do you know anything about the alumni from Howard? You know, do you know Debbie Allen went there? Did you know that Felicia Rashad went there? And it was everybody, because that was during the Fame days,
yes.
and I thought I was gonna live forever. And
so
I
far,
really,
so good.
Well, you know, knock on wood, but, or linoleum, whatever this is. And I majored in drama. I wanted to be the best that I could possibly be. And I still didn't give up the dance. We even had that conversation, you know. But it's like, honey, are you an actress who dances? Are you a dancer who actress? You cannot do both. But you can.
But I'm going
to let everybody know you can do whatever you want to do and stay passionate about it. But I just remain passionate about it, and it's just something that I just always wanted to do.
Describe your very first theater production. You have to tell us. I want to know. Coming into the role, taking on the role, whatever it was, embodying whatever person that was.
Wow. There are several things that stick out. Okay. And believe it or not, I went to Hollywood Performing Arts for 1 year, and we were doing this real farcical show, and it was called Rhinoceros. Believe it or not, and it is a, it's a classic, and I was the lead rhinoceros, which was really weird, didn't have any lines, but it was all told through movement and pantomime, so not necessarily dance, but it was a dance art form, and then after that, it was, you know, I did every Black History show imaginable. When I went to Washington High, you know, which was in the hood, so it's going all the way from the classics to the reality, you know, and... So that was high school, but my first one that really, really changed my life, and I said, this feels good, it feels right, was when I did Agnes and Agnes of God, and I played a young nun who had a child through the Immaculate Conception, and just going through that and receiving the wounds of Christ, and, you know, this character just goes through all of these things on stage that just resonated with where I was and who I was. I had to learn the entire Mass in G, study Catholicism, which I knew nothing about. And
because you
I
were
just,
raised what?
Bedside Baptist. No. I was raised in the African-American AME church.
Okay.
And which is very, you know, very structured, you know, and
it
all
is.
Of that. And we have, you know, ritual and things like that. But Catholicism is very, very different as well. And I just had to really just dive into that world and surrender myself completely. You know, I even went through hypnosis because my character gets hypnotized, but they brought in a real hypnotist because one of the things that I had a mental block with, I had to sing the entire Mass in G, and I couldn't get past this character because Wendy can't sing. I kept telling myself, I can't sing, I can't sing. And I went through the whole hypnosis and got through, and it was just, it transformed my life. It really did. And it showed me the possibility of... I can do this, you know, do this not only because I love it, but because I'm good and I'm trained and I'm ready and I know that I can do this.
And you've done it. You've
Thank
continued
you.
To do it. I want to know, what is your proudest entertainment industry accomplishment?
Oh, you know what? I really don't think I've had that yet.
Okay.
I don't place value on awards or accolades or things like that. But I think anything that comes close is my performing arts school that I started, Amazing Grace Conservatory. I think it's one of my greatest accomplishments that, you know, wow, if I look back over my life, if I could leave a carbon imprint here on earth, you know, that I was here, it would be that legacy.
Okay. Amazing Grace Conservatory. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. But I want to play a little game with you.
Oh, Lord.
It's called So Fast, So Furious, okay? This is a speed round where you, Wendy, you have to fill in the blank with the very first thing that comes to mind.
Ooh, I'm scared of that.
You should be very afraid.
Ah, Erica!
Hey, I cannot tell a lie.
And that's when you get it. Erica! Not Erica. Erica!
Erica.
Okay, first thing.
Okay, here we go. During this year's Oscars, I...
watched it.
Okay.
I didn't boycott. No, I did. I watched it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Blank is my favorite Brandy song.
Best Friend.
Sing some of it.
And into the end, I always been here right beside you, cause I call you my best friend. Through the good times and the bad ones, better I lose her if I win. I one thing will never change it. I think,
okay,
and sitting up in my room, both
there,
of them. Those are my old school
Brandy.
Jazz.
Got two blanks, okay?
I like
that
sorry.
That's okay. You're doing, this is good. You're doing very well.
Thank you.
Black women in Hollywood rock because?
We're magical.
Love it. Leonardo DiCaprio can...
come over to my house anytime.
That was a setup.
Yes, Jesus.
I set you up with that one.
I love him.
Okay, I know. That's why I set you up with that one. If I could time travel, I would...
go to the Cotton Club.
Oh, nice.
In its heyday.
Okay. God is good all the time and...
He's blessed my life beyond my imagination.
Tasha, you felt that. I mean, I just called you.
It's okay.
Whitney, you
it's
felt
okay.
That one.
I did. Yeah, I did.
Okay. Can we do that one again? Uh-huh. God is good all the time and all the time.
God is good.
Good.
That's the answer. I know. But that was just so cliche. But
okay.
Yeah.
Right. That's okay. I still, okay.
I love it. He does. All the time. Turn to your neighbor and say, hallelujah, won't he do it? Glory.
In a fight, Tasha. Now you're Tasha. In a fight, Tasha Mack would blank Loretta Walker.
See, I'm thinking too much, but she would kick her ass. That's
okay.
What you do.
Okay, I like it. The television show The Game changed my life by
breaking records and hitting 7.7 million followers when we premiered.
Amen. I feel sexiest when
I'm naked.
What is so funny? I do. Is that a problem? It's not a problem.
I need coconut oil and cocoa butter are my best friends. Yes, Jesus.
I can't. I am a champion because
I never give up.
Amen. I like it, dude. I like that one. Today is your last day on earth. First thing you're going to do when you leave here is?
That's a hard one.
You got 24 hours. You better think fast.
Wow, I better get that Lasix. I don't know. Wow, that's a hard one. I'm going to go see my parents.
Okay. Three things you must do to be successful in Hollywood are?
Study, train, and never give up.
Okay. That was a good game. You have another game coming up.
Oh, God.
That was pretty good.
What?
That's pretty good.
What? That was kind of hard, though. It was like, ooh,
you
think about
job.
It.
Oh, did I? Yeah, I think so. Okay. I mean, I give you a B minus on that.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty good.
A B minus?
You have another chance to do better, to redeem yourself.
Oh, my God.
Tasha Mack, Winner Cal.
I'm glad she wasn't my principal. Okay.
Jesus.
A B minus. I thought it was good.
Good enough.
Well, you see, I'm competitive. I'm like a B minus.
You're going to get an A the next one. I can feel it in my bones.
Oh, honey, yes.
I can feel it.
It's going to be off the chart.
Your new movie, Weekend with the Family, will be in theaters April the 1st.
Yes, it will.
Stars Karrueche Tran, Marcus Houston,
mm-hmm.
You, of course, and
yes,
Clifton
darling.
Powell. You are one of the film's producers.
Yes, I am.
Is it more stressful for you when you are not only a part of the cast, but you're also a producer?
You know what was interesting? This was my first time producing it. I think in this capacity, I wasn't a number cruncher type of producer, mm-hmm. but it's also in the morale and how you keep the energy of the set going. You keep things moving so that everything is on a timeline.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I've been subconsciously producing in almost every project that I've been a part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they always say, you know, you want to hear an actor complain, give them a job. But I try and do the total antithesis of that.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nobody got time for that. You know, we're going to check the ego as soon as we walk into the door. And I just think it's... I've always been that, and so that's the type of producer I am. Let's get it done, let's get it timely, but let's make it good, let's be great.
So this was an easy transition for you, it seems.
It was almost like a seamless transition.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've been doing it for a long time, you know, and I value time, I value other people's time, and I don't have time for bowling.
Okay.
So let's just make it happen.
So, speaking of making it happen, I watched the trailer.
Oh, Lord.
I watched the trailer. Yeah,
For the movie?
For the movie, yeah. And even from the trailer, it looks like it's going to be a laugh out loud movie from the rooter to the tutor. So, what do you think audiences will find most funny about this movie?
Well, you know what it is? I feel like in the state of where we are right now between, you know, the election coming up, Obama leaving, you know, global warming, there's just so many things that are just happening, you know, so much violence going on that this is going to be a wonderful escape for us to just go. And it's that good, fun, laugh out loud, laugh at ourselves in spite of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the over-the-top comedy. I mean, come on, it's not rocket science. But at the heart and soul of it, there is a love story that's there. And it's about acceptance of others, acceptance of, it doesn't matter where you come from or what culture you come from. You know, the common denominator at the bottom is that love is love and love can conquer all. And so I think that's the takeaway that's just really exciting about it.
Yeah.
But you have these two families.
And your name in the movie is Nick. I can't even pronounce it. Shankershet?
Honey, it's Lorraine James. Thank you, Chef. Look, I can't even do it. That's that little French toast at the roof of my mouth, okay? Lorraine James. Thank like a shit. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yes, honey. African in my family. But, yeah, so, I mean, but I had so much fun doing it. Like, all of that was even improv'd, you know? So I was able to just play, and it made sense. Chris Stokes did a wonderful job in directing us, and the cast was just, everybody was on point. It was fast. It was a lot of late hours. So sometimes you can get a little loopy.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of nervous to see what they kept and didn't keep.
Oh. So you haven't even seen the final?
Oh, no.
Okay. Okay.
I have not.
And this is Carucci's first major on-screen movie role.
Yes.
How does she do hanging with the veterans?
You know, she had a very professional approach. Mm-hmm. You know, there was no ego. There was no... She came in very confident, and she played that ingenue to the T. You know, she's adorable, you know, so you have compassion and empathy for her character, but at the same time, you know, she was funny. If anything, you know, because you never knew what I was going to throw you.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And she, but, you know, she kept rolling with it and came right back at it, and it was great.
And what you just did, the trailer, that was all you in the trailer.
Well, you know, there was a little bit of scripted dialogue, but howsoever and thus and such, I'd like to say that, no, it was, the director gave us permission to play. And, you know, we would always do, you know, the rehearsal and the first take as written, you know, just out of respect for the writing, and then, you know, Chris just let us play.
Yeah.
And there's nothing better than when you got a great group of actors that respect the artistic integrity of the process, you know. So we're going to be true to the words.
Yes.
But then now, give us this take.
Yes.
Our daily bread, you know. So, yes, give us this take.
Give it
our daily
us.
Bread. And we played. So it's going to be interesting to see what they kept, what they cut,
yes,
and what they did.
And my bad, we didn't even tell the viewers out there what we can, with the family. About.
Oh, what, A Weekend in the Family
is
about?
Yes, we didn't tell them. Sorry. I just jumped right into
okay,
it.
No, because
I'm so excited.
Right. Well, you know, my son is in love with Carucci. My son is played by Marcus Houston, and he and Carucci,
yes.
Lord, I forgot the character's name. But anyway, they're in love.
Yes.
And
Carucci is biracial.
She's biracial.
In real life and in fake life.
Well, yeah. And her parents are...
Black and Korean.
Thank you. I was going to say Vietnamese or something. Okay.
See?
But hey, see, you're good, Erica.
See?
I told you I'm sleep deprived. Okay. But so anyway, it's about meeting the parents. And she flies us in to surprise our son, who initially is quite embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, number one, we're from Shreveport, Louisiana. So, you know, we don't bite our tongues whatsoever.
Yes.
And but we also, you know, we're proud of who we are. Mm-hmm. And he's embarrassed, but then he has to learn that, wow, why are you embarrassed, son? You know, we taught you, you know, all of the morals and all of the gifts that you have, and now you're going to be this young attorney and all of that, but you want to hide us? So it's a coming-of-age story on so many levels. And then we all accept each other's flaws and come together, and it ends up being a great weekend with the family.
April 1st in theaters.
Ooh, April Fool's, y'all.
Ooh. Okay. Okay, we got a quick little game.
Oh, Lord, another one.
This is very quick.
Okay.
This is super quick. What is your best 80s dance move?
Cabbage Patch.
Let's see it.
Then I go into everything. Hi. What?
Okay. Can you touch your nose with your tongue?
Ooh. No.
Can't do it?
I can come close, though.
Yes.
What?
I like it.
Yes.
Okay. Wine or whiskey?
Wine.
What kind?
Red.
Mm-hmm.
Chardonnay. Okay. I love it. I can drink Chardonnay all night,
what?
But red will just put me out.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
in a nice way.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Have a good day. Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was quick. That was easy.
Yeah. Oh, that was it?
That was it for that one.
Now, what'd I get on that?
That was a minus. Okay, moving on. Let's talk
about around the world, Erica. Yes, honey, you better rob BHL. Well, honey, you can't give me a grade on the curve.
No.
Okay.
You get one more chance to prove
yourself.
Okay,
we're gonna try that.
Okay. Amazing Grace Conservatory. You mentioned it really quickly at the beginning of the show. It's definitely more than your passion project. I've researched it. You have alum like Issa Rae, Lauren London, founded in 1996. Mm-hmm. Just a beautiful service project to at-risk kids and to kids who you see something in, who you think deserve an opportunity to excel in the performing arts. How did you even come up with this concept?
Wow. It wasn't just my brainchild. My best friend, Tracy Lamar Coley, who actually passed in 2002, was one of the most incredible vocalists I have ever met. He was a Morehouse man, and, you know, me coming from Howard, we actually met on tour in a play. The play was coming to an end, and it's like, oh, Lord, you know, we're coming right out of college, and it's like, back to reality, you know, it's time for the show to close, and it's like, okay, what are we going to do? He's like, you know what? Well, I got a job working at Marley Gibbs Crossroads. So Marley Gibbs had a performing arts school in South Central L.A. I taught dance there, and he was the vocal teacher, and then, boom, after that summer, it closed. So we were kind of like the Pied Pipers. There were all these kids that were absolutely amazing, and they were like, so what are we gonna do? You know, they had fallen in love with us, we had fallen in love with them. We put our heads and our hearts together, and we developed a curriculum, and we stepped out on faith. And my mother was like, you gonna open up a what? I was like, we're gonna open up a school. And Marley Gibbs, she had given us her blessing. Actually, her great grandchildren are students there now.
Oh, sweet.
Yes, Samuel Christian and Aaliyah Gibbs. And we put our heads and our hearts together, and it was not easy, but we found a space and we stepped out on faith. And actually, I was on my first show at the time, Minor Adjustments, took all that little money, put it in there. And I wanna say how art imitates life, and sometimes life imitates art, because when it was time for the Steve Harvey show to come around, I had been walking in those shoes all along and didn't even know that God had just divinely set everything up. And I was already a principal, but I didn't realize that I was walking in those footsteps. But it's a performing arts school, but more than that, we want to give them an opportunity to be freely and fully expressed in whoever it is that they want to be. Mm-hmm. So we utilize the arts as a catalyst to take them to wherever they want to be. Like Elle Varner, who was nominated for Grammy.
Yes.
She's one of my babies.
That's one of your babies,
and, had three young people and straight out of Compton. You know, a lot of the young people are working more than I am. Right, I'm really proud of
that.
Well, honey, believe
it.
Well, Aldous Hodge, who I'm really, really proud of, because he has a project coming out now, Underground, with Journey Smollett-Bell, and he was in Straight Outta Compton, played DJ Ren, and he's just doing some phenomenal things. And you know, I just see the fruits of the labor, you know, and it's harvest season now. It's been about 20 years.
Yeah.
And I'm just seeing the fruits of the labor just really manifest. So I'm excited for the young people that are there now, as well as the ones that have been in the trenches.
What are the criteria to get accepted as an AGC student?
That's a great question. It's basically, if you have the heart, the wherewithal, and the desire to act, sing, and dance, we want you there. So we do interview every student before they're accepted, just to make sure it's a mutual fit, because we don't want to babysit.
Yes.
A lot of times, we got, girl, my baby a star, honey. Show that dance. Mama, I want to do it. Show them the dance you can do. And it's like, no. I ain't going to sit around and be begging no child to show me nothing, because we don't have time. You know, so our classes are like an hour and 20 minutes each.
Every single day?
No, I wish. Well, in the summer it is.
Okay.
But right now we're on Saturdays and we do weeknights.
Okay.
But as long as they want to be there and do the work and are going to commit and keep their grades up, we have a haven for them.
Okay. Okay, so it's not just for at-risk kids.
It's at-risk and emerging artists.
Gotcha.
So everybody comes together.
Okay.
We
I'll
all
like
hold
it.
Hands and jump.
I like the jumping.
I know. It's
I like
because it's like, with almost no parachute. Let's go. And we know we're going to land somewhere safe and comfortable.
This year's production is what?
Wow.
What
you're
is this year's
asking
production?
That. You know what? We are doing a spin on Bye Bye Birdie.
Oh.
Which is very, very interesting. We're going to set it in the 90s. It's so interesting with all the purple. And I don't know if you know the story of Bye Bye Birdie, but it's about Conrad Birdie, who has to go off to war and everything. But he's this huge rock star. And when it was done before, it was like an Elvis-esque. Mm-hmm. But now we're going to use a Prince esque type of character, and we're exploring all of that. So we're dealing with, you know, a lot of the social injustices that went along with that, as well as, you know, war.
Yeah.
Good God, what is it good for? So we're using that as an impetus to just tell our story and just make it entertaining, comedic, but also socially valuable.
And speaking of social valuable issues that are going on right now. Oscar So White controversy. Your buddy, Chris Rock, he faced that issue head on, his monologue, not only in his monologue, but throughout his...
The entire show. Yeah.
He walked out to Public Enemies, Fight the Power. Black Lives Matter was one of the very last things we heard him say. Mm-hmm. Do you think that he rose to the occasion? Because honestly, like being an Oscars host is often a thankless job. So you're going to get criticized regardless.
Right, right.
And I know he's your buddy. But do you think he handled those issues properly?
I mean, he jumped out there. You know, I knew Chris was going to stand up and not bite his tongue, so he was definitely the right person for that. Mm-hmm. You know, some were home runners, mm-hmm. and other ones were like, things that make you go,
Like the grandmother swinging from the tree?
Well, that, the Stacey Dash moment and things
that was
like that,
weird.
You know. But one thing that he did, he was consistent and he did not bite his tongue.
He did not.
And so if anything, I want to say the takeaway from it was Black lives do matter, mm-hmm. and there is a lack of diversity in Hollywood. So, yeah, we hit him over the head. He hit him over the head.
He did.
He hit him over the head with it, yeah.
What actors or actresses and what movies do you think from the Black community got snubbed for this year's Oscar?
Straight Out of Compton.
Yes.
I mean, hands down. You know, I'm being raised and born in L.A. I mean, I literally saw my life on screen. Mm-hmm. It almost had the same impact that Boys in the Hood had for me. You know, so I'm watching it, I'm entertained, I'm crying, I'm feeling the pain, the struggle, I'm loving the music. You know, the music could have even gotten
the
nominated.
Music, seriously.
I'm like, geez, guys, really? But I feel like that was a serious snub. And it was very unfortunate. And what I tell a lot of my young people, you know, nobody can tell our stories better than us.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it was nominated for, you know, best screenwriting, but they didn't look like us, but they told our story.
Yeah.
So instead of just sitting around, you know, moping and being upset about it, write your story.
Write your own stuff.
Tell your story and execute your story and be great. Mm-hmm. But that was the biggest snub for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
And on a more fun note, still related to the Oscar So White controversy, uh-huh. Chris Rock said that about Jada Pinkett. He said, well, why is Jada boycotting the Oscars? Because that's like me boycotting Rihanna's panties. I wasn't invited. Now, Jada in the airport in LAX yesterday was like, look, it comes with territory. Or she responded.
Oh, I didn't see that.
She responded.
Oh, what did she say?
Jada breaks her silence. She says, look, it comes with the territory. It's a part of the game. She said there's a lot of stuff we have going on in the world right now that we have to handle.
Right.
And she was like, we just got to keep it moving.
Exactly.
So did you think that Jada's comment response to Chris Rock, kind of bashing her, kind of making fun of her, was that a good response?
I think it was an excellent, excellent, excellent response. Because at the end of the day, we are on, honey, we're on the eve of a presidential election.
Whew.
Okay.
Who you
got?
You
know what I mean?
Who you got?
I don't.
You don't?
I don't. I'm so undecided right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost farcical.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
almost
I mean?
Almost is already there.
It's already there. So I think there are greater issues right now. And I am so in agreement with Jada. And I think she took the high road on that.
She
and
did.
I applaud her for that.
We love you, Jada.
Love you, Jada.
Okay. One more game. last game. Last chance to redeem yourself.
So God.
You had a B-, you had an A-.
Oracle.
And here you go.
What?
This is called Quotes from Co-Stars.
Ooh.
So I'm going to read a quote, and then you have to tell me which of your co-stars this came from.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
A part of me says to think it through. A part of me says I'm over you.
A co-star said that about me?
Well, see, okay, let me go back.
Okay, let's clarify.
Okay, so
hold up.
It's not particularly about you, but these are quotes that they've said that are pretty well known.
Okay, so say it again.
A part of me says to think it through. A part of me says I'm over you. I'm going to give you another clue. That's a song.
Oh, okay.
It's a quote from
a song. Brandy.
LaToya Luckett.
Oh.
From her song Torn.
Oh.
See, it's okay.
Hey. Well, you know, that's a new show. We only got 8 episodes in, okay? No, we did. We shot 8 episodes in 3 weeks.
They're still getting to know each other.
So, yeah. Okay. I don't know about that one. Okay, go ahead.
Now, this is about you.
Uh-uh.
Amazing Grace Conservatory is every ounce of who she is as a person.
That's not Hosea Sanchez.
It is.
Oh, that's my son. He knows me. When did he say that? You called him?
Well, you were there when he said it.
Oh.
It was when he described you as the recipient of the 2015 BET Community Impact Awards.
I just want you to say all that.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
I love him. Oh, this is my baby.
That's your baby. Okay. We're gonna dismiss the first one that you got wrong.
Okay, thank you. Because you know, I said you know, 8 episodes in 3 days.
I am not in the finger pointing business. I did what I was trained to do by my father. You make a mistake and you own up to it.
That's Brandy.
No!
Oh, damn it. By her father.
Let me give you a clue.
Okay.
This is a major... This,
oh, Tia.
This, let me give you the clue. Okay. This is a major incident that happened about 2 months ago.
Oh, Steve Harvey, yeah. Child. Yeah. Jesus, Lord. Steve Harvey. And the winner is, my bad. Say that again. What did he say?
He said, I'm not in the finger-pointing business. I did what I was trained to do by my father. You make a mistake and you own up to it.
Wow.
How do you think he handled that blunder?
I think he handled it like... beyond a man. I think, you know, it's so many times we see Steve as this comedian and all of that. He's a big-ass teddy bear. Mm. And he's such a compassionate person when you really, really know him. And I think he took the mask off, you know, all of that. And what you saw was just authentically and organically who he is. And I know he was devastated.
Oof, but it was funny, though.
But not for him.
Not for him.
You know, and not for her.
Not for her, but she just got offered a role in Vin Diesel's next movie. So
right.
She's on the come up.
Right. She's on the come up, but that moment and being stripped down and taken away, it was devastating.
Okay.
But I know it really, really bothered him, but I'm glad to see how he handled it, and he owned up to it.
He did, but it wasn't funny to you, though?
Just, you know, the comments that were on social media. It was like, really? You know, the SNL stuff, everything they did on Saturday Night Live. Okay. And I'm like, oh, God. But no, I felt for him. I really did.
Okay. Now, this is about, I'm going to give you a clue. This is about a relationship, a very tumultuous relationship that went wrong. Here's a quote. That's how I want it to be. I wanted to find somebody and grow and build a foundation and build trust. I wanted to get married. I wanted to have kids and the white picket fence. I wanted the green grass and the dog.
Is this a co-star of mine said that?
A recent co-star, like April 1st co-star.
Oh, Carucci.
Carucci about Chris.
Wow. Let me hear that. What did she say?
She was so sweet. This was on Ayanla.
Wow.
Yeah. She says about Chris Brown, the Chris Brown breakup. She says that she wanted to have an ideal relationship. She wanted to find somebody and grow and build a foundation and build trust, that she wanted to get married. She wanted to have kids, the white picket fence, the grass, and the dog.
Wow.
She told Ayanla that.
Wow. And it's not too late.
It's not, of course. It's
like not too
26,
late. You
27.
Know? Right, exactly. And everybody wants that. But the reality of it is, honey, that fence going to break. Them dogs going to get out. Okay? Now, you can have them kids. They're going to grow up. They're going to resent you. No, I'm kidding.
She's serious. But it's the truth.
No, but I want her to see her find the happiness that she definitely deserves. Because when I say a sweet baby girl.
She does seem so sweet.
She really is. She really is. And, you know, his bad. That's his bad.
Clearly.
Yeah.
We got two more.
Oh, God.
The esports space is vast.
Well,
let me give you the clue.
Okay.
Your best looking co-star ever in life said
Ooh,
this.
Ever in life? I don't think I met him yet.
Yeah, you met him.
Ooh.
The esports space is vast.
Oh, yeah.
And even though I've been in it for a moment, I'm still discovering and learning so much more on a day-to-day basis.
Ooh, Pretty Ricky, what they called him. That's Pretty Ricky Fox.
Beautiful man or what?
You know what? Our birthdays are a day apart.
That's not what I asked you. That's not what I asked.
Erica. Erica. That's why I got to call you Erica. He is. Not, and what I'm saying is. No, he's fine. He's beautiful.
Okay.
He's great.
That's all I want to
hear. It's like, but you're just too damn pretty. It's like, wow, you're going to give me all kind of low self-esteem. And I think that's what happened with Tasha. It's like, damn, you're too pretty. Really? Can he just be over on this side? We really got to share the screen right now. But he is the nicest freaking guy that what I loved about it, it's hard playing yourself, number one. And he played Rick Fox. But then on top of playing Rick Fox, they made fun of the Rick Fox brand, and he let it, and he rolled with it, and it was just, wow. I remember one time Tasha was like, just get your big ass over here. Come on, let's sit out. You know what I mean? And it was just like, and he went with it, and he was just, he just wanted to play. He just showed up, and there wasn't that Laker captain and all of that. It was just this vessel of, I'm here to have fun, let's play. And he takes the acting game very serious, too.
I think he's pretty good, actually, on the screen.
He's very good.
I think he's good.
Because he's vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. He's so open and just available. And I love you, Ricky.
Me too. Okay. Last quote. I decided to hit the subway and sing my little heart out. You got to check out this video and see why this fun-filled morning left me asking, can a sister get one fan?
You know who that is.
You know who
that is. Brand.
How do you feel about that?
What she just said?
So basically, Brandy, guys out there, Brandy a few months ago was singing her heart out on the subway in New York. And got ignored. Like, no one recognized her. And she intended to go incognito, but hoping that someone would think she was... Wait, you gave me a look. You think you want...
Well, I mean, her voice. You can't go incognito. Really, with a Brandy voice?
You can't.
She has such a very unique and specific voice.
Okay.
We gonna know that voice. Now, I know she was probably upset, you know, she didn't get no attention. Okay?
Yeah.
But it's New York, honey. Everybody got things to do. Honey, ain't nobody got time for you. Okay? Keep singing. Okay, whatever, baby. I'm trying to get over here, put these shoes on, get out these heels, and I got to go. So, but that's what I love about New York.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's on that damn subway. Kevin Spacey. You know, I mean, the greatest of the greats are the greats are on that damn subway.
They are.
And everybody's trying to get to that next place. So,
I love it.
But what a wonderful exercise she did.
You get an A+ on that.
Yes, finally.
A+ for...
Ooh, girl, I was about to say, who I got to sleep with to get an A around here? Jesus, what is this?
Get an A plus.
Thank you, Black Hollywood Live.
All day. Okay, Wendy, we got to wrap it up. Got to reel everything back in.
Oh, okay. Is that our time?
I know you want to stay all night long.
Well.
But you can come back.
Okay, I'd love to.
You can come back.
I'd love to.
But before we go, let everyone out there know, TV1, Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock, Here We Go Again. Why is Here We Go Again a must watch?
It's a must watch because it develops a conversation piece that needs to be had.
Mm-hmm.
Not only just between families, but between couples and between mothers and daughters and sons and all of that. So I think it's totally encompassing of not only who we are as a race, but it's a colorless show.
Okay.
We just happen to be Black going through this. So Here We Go Again.
Here We Go
8
Again.
8 o'clock on TV1. Come check out the Loretta Walker
The
Walker family and all of that. But it's fun and it's entertaining and it's quality television.
It is. It really is quality television.
Thank
it's
you.
Awesome. Weekend with the Family, April 1st.
Mm.
Producer/cast. You are excited about this movie because?
I'm a stone cold fool.
There you
in
go.
It, you know?
There you go.
And it's over the top. Don't judge me. But I had fun, and sometimes, you know, we take life so seriously. This is one where it's just like, really? Did that just happen? It's kind of like a ringmaster, you know, when I did the Jerry Springer movie. It was like, really? You were so stupid.
It's so
but it's
silly.
Like, sometimes I love being silly. I love having fun. I think it's healthy. It's healthy to laugh.
It is.
It's healing for the soul. It really is.
Amazing Grace Conservatory. How can people support?
Well, financially, you know, we're a nonprofit organization, and actually, you can sponsor a child to attend.
Okay.
You know, we keep our costs very, very low, so it's open to all walks of life. You know, like I said, we have the at-risk, but I like to call them the at-promise.
At-promise. I like
yes.
that better. I like that.
Thank you. And then we have our emerging artists. You know, you can come to our shows, come and support. Our show is May 14th and 15th right here in Los Angeles. But go to AmazingGraceConservatory.org, AmazingGraceConservatory.org, see what we're doing. See the alumni. See the lives that we've affected and touched. We've touched thousands of lives. And I think, you know, with support from people out there, I think we can touch thousands more.
And before you go, leave us with some Monday motivation.
Well, I thought you said leave us with some money. I was like, what?
Listen.
You're like, before you go, leave us with some money.
I accept checks, cash, and coins.
And coins. Yeah.
Coins.
PayPal.
For the meter.
Yeah.
For the meter. Monday motivation. Give us a quote. Anything inspirational you want to share?
Well, I have this painted on the wall at my studio at Amazing Grace. To thine own self be true. And I really mean that. If I'm doing me, I'm not telling you, Erica, you need to be doing this. And why you ain't doing this? Why you ain't doing this? I got three fingers pointing back at me. If I do me and I'm doing me to the fullest extent that I could possibly do me, everything else is going to fall in order.
I love
it. To thine own self be true.
Love, love, love it.
Thank you.
An awesome conversation with my new favorite person in Hollywood, Wendy Raquel Robinson.
Thank you. Likewise.
I can't toast you. I can toast my pen with
it's
your glass.
It's okay, girl, because I'm stealing this cup.
There you go.
Okay. I'm teasing.
I'm not stopping her.
Look, it's going right here. Bye, Erica. No, I'm teasing. No, I have fun. Thank you.
Thank you for coming. Erica Renee Davis. You can follow me on Snapchat, Periscope, Twitter, and on Instagram at Erica Renee D. Wendy, where can they follow you?
At I am Wendy Raquel, WendyRaquel. But I was just thinking and watching you as you were saying that, you a bad sister.
No.
You really are. I appreciate your intro. I appreciate your interview. And I appreciate your conversation.
Aww.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Aww.
BlackHollywoodLive.com. Mwah. Sister, sister moment.
Yeah.
Until next time, guys. BHL Conversations. See ya. Mm-hmm.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.